Blog Talk Radio.
You there, Don?
Yes. Welcome to Ron and Don Show. I'm Don Allen, the studio.
Okay.
A, studio B, Mr. Ronald A. Edwards. Mr. Edwards, how you doing tonight?
Man, I can't complain, Don. I'm watching everything going on, getting inquiries from around the country, particularly since a couple of big headlines that were in our newspapers here about the mayhem and the violence and et cetera. I was kind of challenged, Don, by a statement made by a organization that indicated that we've been spending a lot of money up here fighting crime and it should be under control. And by the way, before I make the announcement about Phyllis Wheatley there, do you know we've got four big conferences coming up on the 8th, 9th, 10th, and 15th talking about gun violence, opiates, and et cetera? Yeah. Yes, sir.
I had no idea.
Yeah, got
no
one in Robbinsdale. Yeah, one in Robbinsdale. Two are somewhere in Minneapolis, there by invitation only. And then there's one at that the sheriff and the MPD are putting on, and those are definitely by invitation because they're being held inside of the county jail building.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I'm trying to figure out, wow, what the heck is going on, how bad things are. But anyways, out of deference and respect to one of our most significant and cherished organizations, we definitely should be concerned with what appears to be the demise and possibly the final demise of Phyllis Wheatley Community Center, first incorporated and opening its doors in 1924. Looks like they may be going under also, Don. So probably need to keep an eye on that maybe.
Who's the oversight company over there, Mr. Edwards?
I can't quite find out. The board is almost anonymous now. There was an article in Saturday's edition of the paper here, the Minneapolis Star Tribune, indicating that the woman that had been, Mrs. Miller, who had been brought in as the new executive director, lasted exactly 4 months. The board asked her for her resignation after a $100,000 grant from the Minnesota Public Safety Department was not executed because Phyllis Wheatley's administration at that time had not provided accurate information. And so there has been some continued conversation that there are a couple of other programs that are supposedly addressed to the African-American community and dealing with, you know, the problem of violence and drugs and et cetera that have not reported in or filed the necessary papers. You know, you were really on top of that a couple of years ago. A couple of organizations didn't file the necessary paperwork for, you know, how they were spending their money. Yeah, it's being said now around the country that we're here in Minneapolis, we're legendary. We get big money, having fun, and not accounting for it, and yet we've got all this violence, man. You know, so.
Yeah.
But with Phyllis Wheatley gone, there's really no place for our young people to go, Don.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I'm reading some comments here that under the Phyllis Wheatley Community Center director says she was forced out in the Star Tribune, which would be the article that you're probably talking about, Mr. Edwards. And I'm looking at it here. It says they're funding down $500,000 this year. Last year was down, leaving them in the red more than $100,000 after paying themselves first. And another gentleman says here, I think we're being lied to. How bad does it have to be that the Dayton administration would cut off funding? So they're pointing at Mark Dayton again. He's getting pointed at quite a bit. Yeah, and there's some people. I'm trying to actually find Miss Brianna Miller here
Miller.
To see if I can get her. Yeah, Brianna Miller, to see if I can get her to call in, you know, and give us the skinny on what's really going on. So.
Yeah, well, she said in the article that she unfortunately made mistakes and didn't handle things properly, but that $100,000 was apparently extremely important, allowing that organization to keep its head above water. Now I don't know what's going on down there. I asked some folks today, as we prepare for tonight's show, if you know the building is open and if there's activities. They said there's no staff down there. A lot of staff have basically been laid off. Yeah. So. Certainly, if Ms. Miller wants to call, the board chairman is a gentleman by the name of Mr. Jackson, and he declined any quotes in an interview that was offered him by the Star Tribune. He didn't even answer his telephone. Yeah, and I'm like, wow. So yeah, so Phyllis Wheatley looks like. He may be losing. An organization that's been with us for, you know, over almost, 90 years. I don't know, Ms. Kellman. I stay in my lane.
Yeah, I just asked her to give me a call that we want to interview her right away. We'll see what kind of response we get in the next couple of minutes here.
Yeah. You were able to find her name that quickly? Good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, she's my friend on Facebook. Yeah, so she's right there.
Oh, my God.
No matter.
So you got to know. Oh, yeah, okay. Well, let's hope that she gives us a call and tells us what happened. Because I understand a number of important employees, including her administrative assistant, got out early, whatever that meant. We're looking at that. We're coming down to the final days of the mayoral contest, Mr. Allen. You had some things what do you think?
Well, you know what? I have it, you know, since it's ranked choice voting, I'm not putting these in any order, but I'm putting Ray Dean, Nakima Levy-Pounds, and Jacob Fry in the top three right now. But Jacob Fry was endorsed by the Star Tribune and the Minnesota Daily, but it doesn't mean anything. You know, if they want to endorse a trust fund and nice hair, let them go ahead. That don't mean nothing. I don't think that the people of Minneapolis are ready for a Jacob Fry. Just like, you know, that'd be like having R.T. Ryback all over again. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, well, we can debate on that. I have him as my number one ranking, and then I have actually Koch, the former deputy director of the Housing Authority. You know, he's got a lot of money behind him, man, because, you know, he was the president of the theater trust downtown.
Yes,
of the,
yes.
The big four theaters down there. And, you know, he's very strong in the gay and lesbian and gender community, if you will. But yeah, my ranking is those three. Ray Dean in second, Hoach in third. After that, I don't know. I understand they had town hall or a meeting or town hall forum yesterday, and what they've done, they've pared it down to the select six. That's what I call them, the select six. Because, you know, there are 14 people that registered to run for mayor, 14. And so the decision apparently made last night was for only six, you know, could participate in the debate. Yeah. So I don't know. So, what do you think about Jacob Fry? You don't think he can make it? He's got strong support, man. He has the strong support and endorsement of State Senator Bobby Joe Champion. And so
Well, you know, these guys, they need the overseers, you know, trying to rein in the black community. And so that's basically what's happened there. I don't think that people are falling or will fall for the okie doke on this one at all.
Okay. Explain to our national and worldwide audience what rank voting it means legally here in the state of Minnesota or in the city of Minneapolis.
If I'm not mistaken, it's in Minneapolis and St. Paul this year, too.
Mm-hmm.
And so ranked choice voting is you have to have the majority, the largest percent, and you basically vote for three candidates, one, two, and three.
Uh-huh.
And and so you pick your top three choices, and then they go count the ballots. If I'm not mistaken, you have to have at least, is it, what, 40% or more of the vote, so there's not like a recount or a redo-over or something like that? Might even be 51.
Yeah, I think you're correct on that. Mm-hmm.
I'm actually looking for that now, because I just read that like 3 days ago, and
yeah,
I want to make sure that we're given the right information. Here we go, Rank Choice Voting Minneapolis right here. It says, what is Rank Choice Voting? First one that pops up. Let's see if we can get it. Come on. Minneapolis voters may rank up to three different candidates for a single or multiple seat in municipal offices. Each ballot will have three repeating columns. In each office, voters will complete the ballot from left to right, indicating their first choice for the race by the first column, filling in the oval next to the select candidate's name. If the voter wishes to rank different second and third choices, they will select them in the second and third columns on the ballot.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Oh, yeah, they need 50% plus one for mayor, 33 and a third percent plus one, basically 34, for Board of Estimate and Taxation, and 25% plus one. So there's one seat for mayor, two seat at large Board of Tax and Estimate and Taxation, and three seats open for Park Board Commissioners at large.
And that's that's been a fierce contest with a lot of racial implications. Don't you find it interesting, though, that there's no similar requirement for the office of councilman? It's a straight vote, 50.1. I mean, for council. I always wondered 4 years ago and 4 years before that, or 8 years ago, why they did not expose the council members to the same kind of a narrative, if you will, you know, rank 1, 2, 3. But hey, who are we to question it, man? And my community just tries to go to the polls if we do. A lot of things going on. This mayor's race has been kind of intense. A lot of rumors going on, Don, about the amount of money that has been in crime fighting here in Minneapolis, our beloved city, if you will, over $1.5 million out of one pot already. That's the recast monies that came in, $5 million over 5 years, $1 million a year. They've already spent $1.5 for, and they're almost into the end of year two. A lot of money, man. Boy, I've been taking a look at some of the figures, if you will. A lot of money has been paid out, and yet we don't have a handle, at least in my estimation. I mean, we don't, but who are, you know, I'm just a cat out there in the little dirt road. But, boy, we've had a lot of violence, a lot of shootings, and knifings and baseball bat beatings and everything else in our beloved cities. Has Lady Miss Miller, has she given you a signal that she's interested
I have
in coming
no signal
on?
I have no signal from her as yet, but I am leaving it wide open. Hopefully she will decide to get with us on. That'd be nice.
Okay. Right. I understand there's some problems, some controversy going on with regards to the hiring of black educators here in our beloved state.
Oh, yeah, there's all kinds of mess going on. But one thing in particular that we talked about in the production meeting that I'd like to touch on is that Hamline University is having their professional development for their student teachers, their fall cohort, tomorrow, November 2nd, at the Hamline campus out on 1600 Utica. And there's about 100 white candidates, and they're talking about black students and poor students in the urban schools as wounded students, which teachers the impression.
I'm sorry, you say wounded. I mean, they've been involved in combat? I mean, were they shot like New York City yesterday or Las Vegas? I'm not understanding. Wounded? Wounded how?
Wounded. Yeah, wounded students, as in, you know, you have to have low expectations because of their behaviors, because of their attitude. And they might not learn from you, okay?
Oh,
might not learn.
Okay,
they're
who
wounded.
Does the triage? Who does the triage then for the little colored?
Well, nobody at Hammond. I talked to the dean of the school education, associate dean of school education today, and he says, I will take your concern to the staff and to the people that's doing this. And I said, well, that's great, but, I mean, you really going to let them get out in front of these students tomorrow and actually go with that? I said, that's not going to be good. It's not going to be helpful for anyone. And he said he agreed, but, you know, Hamlin, they blow smoke quite a bit. Here it goes, Mr. Hamlin. Reaching and teaching the wounded student. They assume when you walk in the door, the student is wounded. And that's code switching for the black student. In this session,
that's
we will learn
like
how to identify.
That's kind of like stuff like that, exactly.
They said this session we will identify.
Like in the NFL.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
Well, let me read the professional development session to you here. I have it right here. It says, reaching and teaching the wounded student. In this session, we will learn how to identify who may be a wounded student. This typically extends to those labeled as at risk. We will also discuss strategies transforming the lives of these students from hopelessness to a promising future. Facilitated by Tammy Pate, has worked with students in a variety of roles. She's a certified dropout prevention specialist. Presently, she's part of the dean staff at the Hammond School of Education. So,
and is she a person of color, or who? What is she? I mean, where is
I'm
she
looking
from?
Right now. I have no idea who that woman is. Let me see.
What is her credentials and degrees and et cetera? I mean, is she Harvard, Princeton, Dartmouth? I mean,
I'm actually looking right now. I'm trying to see. Oh, Tammy Pate. Okay, this might not be. Let me just see. This might be the right one. No, this is not the right one. I almost called. There is a. Here we go. Tammy Pate right here. Oh, my goodness. Oh, no. I know who this professor is.
She's
in the dean office.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she's actually a program coordinator. It doesn't say doctor or PhD or anything. She's at Center for Excellence in Urban Education. Wow. Yeah, I'm.
Well, is our state? do we have an African American Educators Association here in the state of Minnesota anymore, or is there someone that will step up to the plate here, or how will this be handled?
Yeah, I have no idea because no one's saying anything except myself and a guy by the name that we know, friend of the show, Lenny Chisholm. And no one is actually, you bring it to these people. I know there's a St. Paul Alliance of Black School Educators. There's a Minneapolis chapter, I guess. And St. Paul, you know, they want to go meet with the superintendent. They want to do high-profile stuff like that, which is not helping the issue. It's just kind of pissing off the system because the issue is not the district. The issue is the pipelines. Pipelines are at the universities. If you have 100 white
people. Yeah, and other institutions that give out degrees for educational preparation. In other words, being a teacher.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Isn't there an organization out on Highway 100 that is involved with supposedly helping potential candidates of color?
I'm not sure.
It's a facility. It's out on Highway 100. It's called Education Hire or some stuff like that. I don't know. Maybe someone will call in and enlighten us, if you will. What is the state commissioner of education doing? She's
I cannot get a meeting with her. Yeah, I cannot get a meeting with her. She sends her deputy commissioner in, a little Asian girl, to meet with me. And it's, like, very challenging because I don't know what the problem is, you know. Maybe she's too good to sit down and talk with the help, you know. So I've kind of, foregone her pretty much and bypassed her.
Let me ask this. Has there been any significant, I kind of already know the answer to the question, but I'm just asking it for the purposes of over the air to our audiences internationally and domestically and locally. You know, are there any, and I kind of asked it another way, but are there any organizations other than educational organizations that are stepping up to the plate and raising questions about the absence of faces of color, particularly African Americans, in the classrooms of our Twin Cities and metropolitan schools?
Well, Mr. Edwards, I just have to tell you that no, there's not. There's no NAACP involvement. There's no Minneapolis Urban League involvement. There is no St. Paul Urban League. And
no, there is no St. Paul Urban League.
That's what I said. There is no.
About 6 years ago. Yeah. And we're one of the few countries in the United States that lost our Urban League in St. Paul. NAACP, though, in St. Paul, what is it? Tyrone Terrell, Nick Khalif. I saw a piece in the Minnesota Spokesman Recorder, a couple other individuals. Well, they've been more concerned, though, with the civilian review process. Big headline in the Spokesman Recorder, no police on the civilian review board in this week's paper, whatever, I don't, you know, whatever that's supposed to mean. Okay. Well, I'll give them a phone line number. You know, phone lines are open.
Okay. That number 347. Yep. 347-426-3904. Mr. Edwards, we do have a caller. Call
right,
you live on the
caller.
Air. Go ahead.
Hello, Mr. Edwards, Mr. Allen.
Hey, how are you doing?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
I think you're a voice from the Midwest, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
What can we do for you, sir?
Well, I was trying to contact you earlier today, and, you know, you had brought up the issue of, was it recast? And
one of your people reached me, and I said that I would respond within the authorized limits of the information that I have, because there are investigations going on here.
Oh, okay. I guess the
but
question.
But read on what, some questions. Go right ahead. Go right ahead. Sir.
Yeah. Well, I was just. Could you just sort of like give an idea of what recast is, and what it's supposed to be about?
Well, recast is a program. Actually, Mr. Allen was touching on it to some degree. You've asked a question, and I have agreed that I will go into depth working from material that is at hand. It's kind of like, you know, the situation going on in Washington. We're not talking about making up some people. Recast is a program that was developed by the department, the U.S. Department of Health and Health and Welfare, if you will, a tremendous amount of dollars were set aside to deal with the mental condition problems of the African American. Nine cities: Baltimore, Chicago, St. Louis, Milwaukee. Flint, San Antonio, Oakland, California, and Minneapolis were selected. And each city was awarded $5 million, a million to be spent each year for five consecutive years, or as long as progress is being made. This money also ties in with money from the Bloomberg Foundation. My conversation with your representatives indicated they were very much aware of that, so we have a significant reserve of monies to deal with the problems of crime and drugs and et cetera. In fact, I indicated that, and I was just saying that to my colleague, Mr. Allen, the last two couple of editions, October 24th and October 30th of our big paper, the Minneapolis Star Tribune, 17 shot in 5 days of metro mayhem, if you will, and then shootings down, rounds fired are up. They're confiscating so many guns, so many people are being shot here that proportionally percentage-wise, we're right up there with Chicago.
So
the recast program was put in place to deal with the mental conditions and problems of the African-American, concentrating on the entire city. Some people thought initially it was just for the heavily populated color area of North Minneapolis, but it's for the entire city. They put up advisory teams and et cetera. The names have been withheld. There is a document that can be obtained. It is dated June 7th, 2016. City of Minneapolis, Samhus Recast Program Project Narrative, if you will. Interesting document. It, of course, has the personnel who are involved in the running of this program. And as I said before, a tremendous amount of money has already been spent. They are working very closely with another organization. I'm not totally sure that your personnel are familiar with it. It comes out of John Jay College of Criminal Justice there in New York City. And it is interesting, and it's called the National Initiative for Building Community Trust and Justice Implementation Plan. The word that is out here, sir, in this city, and you know, I'm a little tense with regards to talking about it because we're having so many young men and women, older men and women, et cetera, have been shot over the last couple of years. When you start talking about anywhere up to 1,300 guns from the entire city, 760 on our north side of Minneapolis, disproportionate number of those guns taken from young African Americans, you know, male, female. And so recast is to deal with the mental conditioning of the African American. In fact, we've had a number of big conferences here dealing with black youth violence and such things as that. A couple stories in our local black paper. There will be, you asked a question, and I have indicated to your associates that I would speak to this public if you have any questions. Yeah. There will be four meetings here next week, this next week alone, the 8th, 9th, 10th, and the 15th of November. Some of them are by invitation only, and one specifically on the 15th is being held in a secure facility, the county jail. The list has been prepared, and the list is in the hands. It's a joint operation, a joint meeting involving the sheriff of this county and the Minneapolis Police Department. And there are some people that are listening right now. Mr. Allen, by the way, I know Mr. Allen's listening intensely, who are on the list will be at conferences, if you will. The conference on the 8th, we have the county attorneys of both counties, and it appears there will probably be an assistant federal U.S. attorney because the word is out that there is an anticipated roundup coming with regards to what has been happening. We have a couple of other entities. I think one of your people asked me a question about an entity I'm not recalling specifically.
Go ahead. There was a question I had. I don't know if you can answer this, if you want to answer this or not at the moment, but there was a question about the accountability of this money, these federal funds. So I don't know if you can speak to that at this point or not.
Within limits, sir. The money is over $1.5 million. There has been no accountability, no accounting, if you will. There was a circumstance that took place in New York City where representatives from here went as representatives from here, and both the recast program and another program that is in existence here. And in the course of the activities there on the week of the 4th of July, there were electronic intercepts and surveillance, and just not good right now. And so that has led to the Department of Health and Human Services to ask for absolute clarification on how the money that they have awarded to the city of Minneapolis, if you will, and the Minneapolis Health Department, Police Department, and et cetera, how that money has been spent. And there is some difficulty now in identifying for auditing purposes where that money went. There are rumors, you know, money has been spent on cars, you know, high living, drugs, and et cetera. I hope that that's not what it is, you know, that particularly given Jeff Sessions and his Department of Justice. But as I said before, there is a sense that there are about to be indictments handed down, and could, you know, clearly be that people could be taken into custody.
Oh, okay. Now, who's there's a woman named Joyce Stevens, is that her name? Is she the head of the recast?
Yes, she is, sir. Yes, she is. Her name is shown in documents, in multiple documents.
Yeah.
And she has a specific staff, if you will, a very large administrative operation, if you will, program managers, other individuals. It is a situation in which the office of the mayor has declined to even discuss what is happening there. But then there is another program called GVI, which is interesting. In fact, it's the kind of program that you probably maybe don't want to be a member of. Because this past summer, there's been at least three individuals who were affiliated with that who were shot and killed in our city.
Oh, wow.
Now, technically, you know, we're not supposed to talk about that. You know, everybody's trying to get everybody quiet and et cetera.
Yeah.
But we have no affiliation other than we are identified. The Police Community Relations Council and its agreement of 2003 was identified in the document and the proposal submitted to the federal government. And in that proposal, which anyone is quite, you know, free to access it, you know, is that there was a lot of discussion about the recommendations that came over a five-year period from the Police Community Relations Council, if you will, which was a part of the supervision of the Minneapolis Police Department for that particular period of time because of problems and et cetera. And then there had to be a re-engagement in 2013 when it was discovered that the city, under then-Mayor R.T. Ryback, had violated agreements and conditions of the agreement of 2003-2005, if you will, 2008. And so it is a delicate situation, particularly as we come up on the conclusion of the mayoral race, if you will. And I don't want to leave my colleague, Mr. Allen. Mr. Allen, do you have any questions on this?
Well, Mr. Edwards, while you were talking, I was looking around, and I found Recast Minneapolis, the Resilience in Communities After Stress and Trauma, RECAP. That's the acronym for that. And Joy Marsh Stevens is the program director. Ebony Adeo is the program manager. Desiree Lynn Cole is the research assistant. And Christine Manicillero is the another program assistant for communication. Yeah, they have all this stuff in here, and the stakeholders. you know, Hennepin County. They got a lot of stakeholders here, Minneapolis Foundation, Urban League, Youth Coordinating Board, Stair Step Foundation, North Point, Neighborhood Hub, Minnesota Department of Health. I mean, the usual suspects here. And I'm just looking at the thing now, and, you know, they're just looking at things, you know, like the Camp Day Circle, Minneapolis Urban League, and there's a lot of yapping and a lot of nonsense as far as, I mean, there's no real guts to this. I'm looking on the City of Minneapolis website.
Yes, and that would be to our caller from outside of Minnesota. We actually continue to do the research even as we speak with you. The problem that has emerged is that there is not a legitimate accounting of the monies. As I said, over $1.5 million is shown in some other documents as having been allocated, spent, if you will. There's a lot of money went to buy, you know, helped out Mercedes-Benz and General Motors and, you know, but it's done nothing. I repeat again for our Mr. Allen and our caller, Steve. Is it not Steve?
Yes, that's right. That's right.
I refer you to the headlines, 17 shot in 5 days, Metro mayhem and shootings down, rounds fired. It's been so bad here that the police have really embarked on actually picking up the shells. They're seeing a disturbing pattern, and that is a part of the discussion and the rumors that are emerging that the federal grand jury is looking at the gun running as well as other kinds of criminal activities, and the drug thing is just off the chart, if you will. And they can dismiss a program like the Don and Ron program if you want, but the headlines and et cetera come from the prestigious white newspaper. I mean, you know, Mr. Allen and Mr. Edwards didn't write the headlines. And you'd be just surprised at how much discussion has been going on, but what you'd really be surprised, maybe you wouldn't, sir, based on talking to you and your staff, is the number of people that got their hands in the pie, but you can't ever find them when they need it. But is there any other questions, sir?
I guess my question would be, with all you've got recast and GVI and some other programs, so what exactly can they point to, I mean, as success? I mean, it seems like, I mean, I'm sure that with all these programs now and all this money, the crime rate must have dropped in Minneapolis, right?
Not the violence, not the shooting. Some levels of crime, according to the FBI statistical data, have declined. Maybe, I don't know, house burglaries or et cetera, but the real violent crimes, unfortunately, I have to say that it has not, if you will. In fact, these meetings, Steve and Mr. Allen, that I've identified, it's going to be interesting what comes out of that, because the newspaper is going to have to make a political decision. Now, all of these meetings take place after the final count on the election. The election for mayor and council and board of estimation, taxation, and other smaller ones will to conclude, and the voting results will be known by late on the evening of the 7th of November. But your question is a fair one. I'm, of course, uncomfortable to the extent of what I'm seeing happening in my community, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
You know, me and Mr. Allen live in this metropolitan area and et cetera.
Yeah.
But it is so bad that people are just being shot driving down the street in their cars and et cetera. In fact, for anybody who wants to dispute, if you will, we would call upon him to read the Minneapolis Star Tribune's Monday, October 30th edition. Shootings down, rounds fired are up, because they talk in terms of the people who innocent bystanders and et cetera that happen. But it's being done in every kind of way imaginable here. A couple in front of one of our more prestigious hotels, the Marriott Courtyard, were almost beaten to death with individuals with baseball bats. I mean, you know,
yeah.
And, knifings and et cetera. But your question, I have to say in all fairness, there is no manifesto that has emerged. Mr. Allen oftentimes gets himself in trouble by raising that question. We've been told as journalists we shouldn't ask that question. We should just be dependent upon whatever it is that we're told, even as journalists, which we have a real problem buying into that. Am I correct, Mr. Allen? Am I speaking for you on that?
You're absolutely correct. You're absolutely correct.
Yeah, right. So, sir, that is what the situation is. The amount of money, I want to repeat that again because that's something that really are trying to stay away from up here, is the amount of money that was officially given by the government to the municipality, and the municipality has spread around. In fact, one of the rumors that is present is that the Democratic machine, the Democratic Party machine here in Minneapolis, took advantage of this money and also the Bloomberg money to do voter registration.
Yeah. Oh, man.
And, I mean, you know, it's almost like Chicago. I mean, give them half a pint of whiskey and write the name down that they're supposed to vote for and send them to the polls. Yeah. And, boy, Mr. Allen and I had a person on our program here, when was it, Mr. Allen, about 3 months ago, and they became kind of upset with us when we started asking about how the money was being spent and what about the voter registration. You know, Mr. Allen will, and by the way, all of our programs can be recaptured on demand. We actually got into a conversation and the person went to talking about working out of a school. And by the way, gentlemen, that particular person that was on this program is the one who is sponsoring this 2-day conference in which heavy hitters are coming out of Chicago and et cetera. And there are some business interests that are taking place. When I say business interests, I'm talking about, you know, businesses and et cetera. And let me say it like this. There's a real hot spot in our city right now, and it's 38th in Chicago. And that could become a volatile explosion at any time. So all of this time in said, it's been a good 2 years for the GVI group, for the recast group, if you will. Certainly the current administration in City Hall talk in terms of the great job they're doing in bringing peace and order to the city and you know, helping the – Mr. Allen touched on it. I think Mr. Allen kind of knew it was coming. To help the wounded Negroes.
Okay. I have one last question though for Mr. Allen. Under Jeff Sessions' Justice Department, how long do you think the money is going to keep flowing to some of these programs?
Well, I think some of them should rightfully be cut off because of malfeasance and mismanagement of funds. Because there's there's no measurable outcomes. The recast program, the Stop the Violence this, give them $250,000 to an organization that's not known for doing anything to violence, and what it was here in Minneapolis was voter registration. And so, you know, that creates a problem. And I just, maybe just got to drain the swamp, you know, see who comes out on top. That's my point of view, so.
Okay. All right. Well,
thanks, Steve.
Appreciate
you calling in, and hopefully you will be open again. Thank you, sir. All right.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. His organization called me earlier today and asked me about the articles, the newspaper articles that have shown up, and there's been nothing but silence with all these shootings. The drug problems, my God, man, the young African-Americans are ODing left and right. I mean, it's just unbelievable out here. And yet, as my associate, Mr. Allen, has said, and we're saying here on this program, we still have 14 minutes left, there's just a silence. You know, everybody is kind of quiet. And I was talking to a friend who was talking about a gathering, a cotillion that they went to and how everybody was drinking pink champagne and, you know, the ladies had the dresses and et cetera on. And folks, Don, are talking, you know, and acting as if there's nothing going on, except you don't see any of them on the streets at night other than going to get in their cars coming from the flush hotels downtown.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, that's it. That's it.
Yeah, yeah. By the way, again, we want to repeat that on the 8th, there will be a big meeting, which will include, it's being handled by Harding Smith, the Reverend Harding Smith, and Valerie Castile, the mother of the deceased young man shot and killed in Falcon Heights, Minnesota, by a St. Anthony police officer, will be kind of the moderator. Of some of our friends and associates we've known, Steve Belton of the Urban League. But what will be interesting is the county attorneys will be there, you know. And then the following day, there will be this two-day gathering to deal with the violence and et cetera, drugs and et cetera on the street. And then on the 15th, there will be, well, kind of this closed meeting at the county jail. So, you know, as I said on my program last Sunday night here in the Twin Cities, if you don't have invitation, don't try to come, because it's only, you know, 25 yards from where you come in to where they put you in one of holding cells. But, you know, maybe we'll get a call from somebody who will enlighten us on all of these programs. I mean, Don, as little as our people, as, you know, the leaders and things talked during the summer of 2016, 2017, to have four big meetings like this, I mean, you know, I don't know. I'm trying to figure out, wow, you know, maybe the figures, the question asked by the caller, you know, maybe that had some real validity. Maybe they just think that the federal government's just going to pour some more money in here.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Not going to happen. This will get dry up pretty quick. Yeah, I don't know what
they're going
to do.
Give that number out again. We're looking for any kind of calls. Anybody wants to question us, chit-chat with us and talk. I think we kind of scared folks when we talked in terms of federal investigation, possibility of indictment. See, there's been so much talk in America now about indictments. People have become a little bit more astute about legal terminology. Yeah. So when you start talking about indictments and wiretaps and et cetera, I don't know, Don, maybe we scare some folks off tonight. I don't know. I hope not. I mean, I would
think
as much tough talking as I hear, you know, at the more social arenas and et cetera, I thought that they would be. But we don't have anything there? Phone lines are wide open.
Neither, yeah, phone line 347-426-3904. Again, that number is 347-426-3904. Phone lines are wide open. You sit in the chat room, just call. Press the button. We'll pick it right up for you.
Yes, sir. Put you on the air worldwide, yes. By the way, you know, we'll just do our own public service announcement. No money here. But be sure, you know, for those that live in Minneapolis, be sure to go vote. You know, the polls are open, what is it, from 8 to 10? I don't know. But for those of y'all out there that are talking about the problems and et cetera here in Minneapolis, you know, hey, get out and vote next Tuesday. You know, cast that ballot. You got a chance to vote actually three times. That used to be legal in Chicago, but that's legal here. You got a chance to vote three times for mayor, three times for, did you say, Board of Estimated Taxation, and three times for the park board. Is that what you read, Mr. Allen?
Yeah.
You got a chance to go in and go ahead.
I said, yeah, I sure read. That's what I read.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So get out there, you know, to those that are astute and have been very much involved. Now, we have some hot contests going on in the 4th and 5th wards, the 11th ward, as I understand it, and the 6th and the 9th ward. The Somali community is up in arms. I mean, they've been coming, Don, you know, they've been coming to blows over there at their caucuses and the candidates' forums and et cetera, particularly in the 6th and the 9th ward. It's been ugly over there. In fact, my old friend Bassem Saleem has come back into the picture. An article on him.
Oh.
I think it was Friday or Thursday. Bassem is the godfather, man. You know, he's trying to put his people in on the city council.
Uh-huh. Wow.
Yeah.
That could be pretty
interesting. Definitely should be. You know, normally have some Somali brothers to tune in. I know a couple times you called and asked them if they want to speak. You know, now's the time. Tell us about what's happening, because there is one Somali on the Minneapolis City Council, if you will, and he seems to be under some attack and criticism and et cetera. And folks are saying he's not doing anything but just trying to make money. Of course, that's what a lot of folks do. I mean, you know, I really don't know what to expect.
At 9:20, we have another call.
Yeah.
Caller, you're live on the air. Go ahead.
Hello, gentlemen. I left a post on the blog there, but I think I heard y'all saying y'all was looking for folks to call, so I called. My name is Davu Seru from St. Paul, Falcon.
Hey, how you doing, sir?
All right, appreciate it, brother. Any questions you have? Anything you have?
I value your commentary and the extent to which you're following the money related to what's happening with black folks on the north side. And my one question was, because I you know, came of age during and survived the so-called Murderapolis days.
Oh, my God, you go back. You know your place. Okay.
And I wonder how you would say now compares to then as it relates to governmental and non-governmental agencies and money. That's it.
You, sir, are absolutely on point. The difference between now and 1991, 92.
There was actually also
93, as they were still United for Peace, and them were all in play and et cetera. The thing that is in existence now is there's a whole lot more money. You know, I can well remember back then seeing the leaders meeting with then Mayor Sharon Sells Belton and.
Right.
Talking in terms that they need to be funded, and as soon as they could get the money, they could bring peace and tranquility to our beloved city, if you will. Of course, it took a while for the money to totally get there. A gentleman by the name of Booker Hodges, former president of Minneapolis.
Went to school with him, North High.
Oh, you know Booker. Did y'all grow up in the projects down there?
He was on the hockey team.
Yeah, he's one of the few blacks up here that actually was truly a polar bear. But he wrote an article.
Hey, Mr. Edwards.
Yes, sir.
Is this Professor Cyril?
That's right.
That we're talking to? Hey.
Yes,
Mr.
sir.
Mr. Edwards. This is Mr. Edwards. This is the coolest professor I ever had at Hamlin. Okay?
Ah, gotcha.
Go ahead.
Okay, all right.
I didn't make sense.
No. Yeah, he knows his history because in the case of Booker wrote a piece in the Spokesman Recorder where before Booker became a chief deputy over there in Ramsey County. You know, he was in Dakota County for a while, but he's really moved to the latter. He wrote a heck of a piece in which he talked in terms that starting in around 1993-92, over $20 million was poured into North Minneapolis to deal with the problem. And Booker T. Hodges raised that question back in 2011, 2010 about where in the heck, what happened, and can anybody account for all that money? That was $20 million then. And he had it broke down. Booker had it broke down. In fact, kind of missed his columns, which he was still doing some right. But I understand as the chief deputy there in Ramsey County, he's got to be politically correct. But, you're absolutely on point.
Where'd the money go, that $20 million?
Well, I can tell you what was said back then and what's happening. It kind of went in the same direction. It's gone to the best of clothing, cars, you know, housing, women, or, you know, whatever, your desire is, if you will. And this latest batch of money, that's basically what has happened. That's the reason that the caller that you heard that was calling us from outside of Minnesota had called and asked me specifically because they had seen me quoted in a couple of newspaper articles in the white paper, and was following my columns. And they also are a regular listener to our program here, and they asked exactly the same question: where'd the money go?
Mm-hmm.
And the grand jury that's taking a look at this now, that's what they're doing. You know, they're looking at where the money has gone. You know,
but then
I hope it hasn't gone to buy a whole lot of guns. Because, man, we've got a plethora of guns that can pick up. Like I said, 765 as of tonight, right here in North Minneapolis, taking off the street.
So in terms of
the question.
So in terms of the problems, the violence, et cetera, the only difference is the dollar amount that's going into trying to deal with it.
The dollar amount is a tad more now than it was in 1991, 92, United for Peace, and et cetera. A lot of the people are, you know, there's a younger crew, if you will.
Yes.
There's still some veterans, that are still around. age causes everything to pass on to the other side. But again, your question is very probing. And that is that the lifestyle has improved to some degree from what it was back then, if you know what I mean. More folk have been able to move out to the suburbs, if you will. Palatial estates and et cetera.
All right. I appreciate you, gentlemen. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Peace.
Dang, John. So that was one of your professors.
One of the better ones.
Very enlightened, raised the rest of the right questions to us. Mm-hmm. So we start, we're about out of time, but any observations, Don, as we move into the final days of the mayoral election? Now, you've called Joe Bickley.
I'm very interested. You know, we'll be on next week, the day after election, so we're going to really pump this up for people to call in and see if they're happy, sad, angry, or just jubilated about who their choice or who their picks were. But I think it's going to come down to the wire. I think there's going to be three candidates fighting. I don't think that – one thing for certain, Betsy Hodges, I don't think is coming back. And if she does, it'd be a miracle. Okay, so
– I agree. I concur. I think there have been some mistakes made. In my column in the Minnesota Spokesman Recorder last week, I talked to terms that was a bad move she made in denying Lieutenant John DeMonico the opportunity to become the commander of the 4th Precinct. I know there are folks out there that are like, what is he talking about? But the fact of the matter is, you know, she made statements about him, including the fact he was a racist and et cetera. And as I said in my column in the Spokesman Recorder, that was unfair, that was disingenuous. And they don't know the man, they don't know his history, they don't know his family. And it was too bad that was the game that was played. But I wish that, you know, some of these folks would be out here. Now maybe, and we'll be able to talk about that as we move into those dates, by the way. That's out of sight because next Wednesday we will have returned from the first of the public events that is being held at a White Lutheran Church there on 38th and West Broadway, 38th and West Broadway. In fact, Don, it's right across from the shooting range.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Maybe a weapon, just go across the street and grab it. Yeah, if they need a weapon, they go to the
So the church, good, nice Lutheran church right there along the 3800 block of West Broadway, if you will, coming right there into Robbinsdale. We should be able next Wednesday night, the Don and Ron program, we should be able to give some almost firsthand reflections on what happened and what was discussed what kind of corrective action solutions can be forthcoming. I thank the professor and I thank the caller from out of Minnesota, outside of Minnesota, raised some tough questions. So,
but anyway,
probably about time for James Brown to take us on home, baby.
Yeah. He's really old. We'll be back next week.
Right.
Here we go.
Next week. Take care. All right. Bye-bye.